Now to the last in our four-part series, Someone Else's Child. All week we've been hearing the stories of people providing foster care to children who aren't able to live with their parents. Today's interview is a little different. The child being cared for is actually a family member. You might think that this would make things easier, but it isn't always the case. And there's the added worry that the parents know where you live. The foster dad we meet today has been doing it for 4 years, although he reckons it feels more like 30. The interviewer is Julie Kimberley.
Our situation is slightly different to a lot of other foster parents in the fact that we are paternal foster parents. We are actually guardians to a nephew. So we have a little bit more say in the circumstances that surround his interaction with his family, which is, it's still hard.
Is the interaction with the parents an important part of foster care?
4 years ago, I was convinced that it was. Now, I think you have to evaluate what the parents are like to really understand whether it's an important aspect of the child's life. Unfortunately, there are some very undesirable parents out there who probably shouldn't have a child around them because they don't understand their responsibility as an adult.
What are some of the issues that you've had to face in taking on, even though they are family, a child that's come from perhaps a violent or, not so savoury background?
Well, firstly, we have to deal with the parents. Unfortunately, with a paternal placement, they know us. So it's not like we can hide from them and say, okay, yeah, that's cool, well, unlisted number, secret address. Doesn't happen, unfortunately. You've got somebody who's involved with the family in one way or another, so they will always find out where you are. So there's that aspect. In our dealings with this particular individual, she's has a violent history. She's unpredictable. But then you've got our child's aspect, where there's just this level of anger that boils up in him every time he has interaction with his mother. We know, we can see that something's not right there, but there's still this level of encouragement from docs that he interacts with his mother. I personally think it's the wrong thing for him. I see a good, bright young boy who comes back angry and he wants to bring everybody down to that same level with him, and it's very unsettling.
So how do you feel when he's at an access visit?
Angry, very angry. I worry. I don't want to be too far away. I kind of go in protective mode. People around me notice I probably stress out a bit more. I'm more concerned about timekeeping. I'm more concerned about how far I've got to go to get back to him if something happens and stuff like that. And it's very... I hate it. It takes me a couple of weeks to come down from all the anxiety that's involved in knowing that he's out there with this totally unpredictable mother who has a history of violence, who has a history of manipulating people around her, and he's not safe. Even if there's a big burly bloke there, he's not safe. People just don't think like this woman thinks, so they're not prepared for how she's going to behave.
With foster placement comes a lot of extra stress, would you say?
Well, the grey hairs on my chin speak volumes, don't they? I was warned that there would be a level of stress, and is this really something I wanted to do? It is the right thing to do. I can't argue with the decision we've made. But at the same time, I don't feel that we're getting the level of support from the department that's supposed to be protecting these children.
Where do you think he would be had you not taken him on?
I think he would have been one of those poor young children that gets moved around from household to household because there's levels of his character that some people probably wouldn't want to have to deal with on a regular basis. We have situations where for 2-3 days he can just be totally belligerent, aggressive, And I think the only reason we've managed to get through those little episodes is because of our own strength of character.
Does he have extra emotional and psychological needs that perhaps you're not trained to cope with?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. There's 7 years of history there that we have absolutely no knowledge of. You can have a file that's 300 pages thick, but it still won't touch on the things that he's seen, experienced as a young boy, that he should never have even seen or experienced. Is it going to manifest itself in this aggressive young man who just fights and is constantly at odds with the world? Or is it going to manifest itself in a person who shrugs his shoulders and says, oh, well, that was then, this is now, I've got to move on? You know, and that worries me a lot.
Why do they make him have that contact? Have they explained to you why?
Well, one lady, a very clever lady we dealt with in Docs a while ago, she said to me one day that he needs to interact with his mother because one day he'll grow up and understand why he doesn't live with her. And I get that. I understand how that can be important. But at the end of the day, I haven't seen any growth in his interaction with his mother for 4 years. You know, I think he gets more love and care in this household than he'll ever get from his mother.
Do you think there's enough services in place to help foster parents, to guide you through what you're meant to do and how to cope and how to cope with children that have these special emotional and psychological needs?
I'll tell you what, I've got some very strong feelings on this. I believe there are the resources available to docs. The trouble is they spend too much of their time dealing with the parents. I had a caseworker recently say to me that the mother is not my client, and yet I get the impression from all their interactions with docs is they spend 99% of their time dealing with dickhead parents.
What would you change if you could change about the situation?
Nothing. I think that we've made the right decisions. I think we've made good decisions, and I think both of us feel fulfilled in what we've decided to do.
Do you think about his future and what he might be like and whether what you've done will make a difference?
There's only one thing I hope for his future, is that he doesn't turn out like his mother. It's the only thing. If he doesn't turn out like his mother, then we've succeeded. You know? As long as he's got a smile on his face when he's older, we've done what we set out to do.
Would you recommend foster parenting to other people?
I wouldn't recommend it. Like, it's not something I would wake up one morning and go, oh, gee, I really want to do that. You have to think long and hard about whether you've got the love in your heart to do this. I honestly didn't think I had the character, the strength of character to do what we're doing. I did this because it was the right thing to do. I didn't do it because it's something I woke up one morning and said, I really want to make a difference in the world. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. And I, for a very long time, I was very scared about what I was taking on board. But I think I've learned from it. I think I'm doing okay. I think there's a lot more I can learn from it. But at the end of the day, if you've got the strength of character and you really think you can make a difference, then go for it.
A foster dad expressing some of the issues he's dealing with while fostering his nephew, and he was speaking there to Julie Kimberley, who produced all the interviews you've heard this week. Next week on Life Matters, we'll be joined by the New South Wales Minister for Community Services, Linda Burney, to discuss many of the issues surrounding foster care into the future. She's in charge of the department that administers foster care in that state, and all the interviews have been foster carers in New South Wales this week. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National.